Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, June 8th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. Hot Springs is the newest county to sign joint agreements with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, making it the 8th in Wyoming. KHOL Jackson's Sophia Boyd Flegel reports.
Federal data show that Hot Springs County Sheriff Jeremy Crusher signed two 287G agreements in mid-May. One allows his officers to enforce immigration law during routine rounds. The other lets them serve and execute administrative warrants on immigrants already in jail. Crusher declined to comment. ICE did not respond to a request for comment. The signing came 2 weeks before the American Civil Liberties Union of Wyoming filed a lawsuit against the Laramie County Sheriff's Office. It claims the public did not have enough notice and county commissioners did not give written permission. ACLU of Wyoming's Caitlin Densler told KHOL in a statement she believes the same issue is at play in Hot Springs County. Those signings were not accompanied by a press release, unlike some other agencies, including the Laramie County Sheriff's Office and Wyoming Highway Patrol. Sophia Boyd Flegel, KHOL News.
Vic, an artificial intelligence backed by Cheyenne resident Victor Miller, has been directly banned from registering to run for a seat in the United States Senate. The news came in a press release from Secretary of State Chuck Gray after his office said it rejected Miller's AI for failure to comply with the ballot name requirements under Wyoming law. Miller tried to run a ChatGPT program named Vic for mayor of Cheyenne in 2024. Victor and his AI lost that election, but he hoped to run again this year. Here's Secretary of State Chuck Gray in a prepared statement.
Both state and federal law are clear. To be a candidate for office, you must be a human being, not an AI bot. I won't tolerate a mockery of our electoral system and will not allow our electoral system to be taken advantage of by AI.
ChatGPT shut down Vic in 2024, and Miller has since worked on a custom-made AI for governance. During an interview with WPR in 2024, Miller suggested he could run as a meat puppet for Vic, essentially allowing AI to govern through an individual. A startup company tested a small nuclear reactor in Idaho last week that could someday help humans live on the moon. The Department of Energy says it's the first of its kind to be turned on in the last four decades. Wyoming Public Radio's Hannah Merzbach has more.
Tom Antonelli with the company Antares says its microreactor could power lunar and deep space missions and remote military bases.
Where the grid might not be as reliable and where it's difficult to bring the liquid fuel supply.
In what officials dubbed historic, a test model of Antares' microreactor went critical at the remote Idaho National Lab. That means the company safely controlled a nuclear fission reaction, but didn't produce any electricity. That could happen next year. This is the first reactor in a U.S. Energy Department program to meet a July 4th goal. Others at the Idaho lab and a Utah one could be next. The feds have fast-tracked their licenses to usher in a, quote, nuclear renaissance, something some experts worry could result in mistakes. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Hannah Merzbach.
States are still fighting over how to share the Colorado River. As Scott Franz reports for the Mountain West News Bureau, some want the power players to think less about economics and more about the river itself.
Dale Sinqua is a council member for Arizona's Hopi tribe. He traveled to Boulder this week for a conference about the river's future.
I wanted to hear how people are viewing this, where they stand at, if they're willing to sit in a room and roll up their sleeves and really deal with the issues.
After the first few hours of talks, he had a mixed review. He says too much focus is being put on how to piece out the river for different uses and who will get the biggest economic benefit. That has him wondering if personal interests are still carrying these discussions. Sinqua sees the Colorado River as a living being with rights. The Colorado River Indian tribes passed a resolution declaring it.
Some people won't accept that. But if you look at it that level and you allow it to, then it starts changing the ways in which you think about it and maybe your actions.
Some regulars at the annual water conference were absent. Negotiators from 7 states historically talked together on a panel. This year, just 2 are scheduled to appear.
That's Scott Franz for the Mountain West News Bureau. Federal forecasters say more parts of northeast Wyoming will have above normal wildfire potential through August. Parts of the south have already had this forecast for a couple of months. Wyoming Public Radio's Ellis Urelli Huff reports.
The National Interagency Fire Center updated its prediction to include more of the state. This is thanks to low vegetation growth, historically low snowpack, and below normal precipitation in May. Predictive Services says wildfires may prevail through much of the summer.
The Rocky Mountain area, the West Slope, Central Colorado, and Powder River Basin of Wyoming are forecast to have above normal potential in June and July.
The agency says the potential for large wildfires could shift into the southwest in August. In September, most of the state is supposed to return to normal potential. Wyoming has already seen several small fires and usually sees hundreds each year. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ellis Urelli Huff.
And now let's hear from Ivy Engel with a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on June 7, 1949, Eliza Smith was certified as the nation's first female brand inspector at the 77th Annual Wyoming Stock Growers Convention. On June 8, 1887, the city of Douglas was incorporated. A year before that, on June 9, 1886, the first issue of Bill Barlow's budget newspaper was published in Douglas. It's now known as the Douglas Budget. On June 8, 1888, John Merritt and C.E. Eads established the town of Casper. On June 12, 1863, the first newspaper ever published in Wyoming was printed in Fort Bridger. It was called the Daily Telegraph and had closed by the end of the year. On June 13, 1912, there was an initial offering of lots at Marbleton in the famous Green River Valley. The Gillette News Record reported on June 12, 1988, that Opal Butcher had graduated from the University of Wyoming in Casper. The 76-year-old went back to college to earn her bachelor's degree in social science. She planned to use the degree as a substitute teacher in Glenrock, where she was living at the time. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. What is Wyoming's penalty for entering a coal mine while intoxicated? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook. We'll give a shout out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, who wrote the classic Western novel, The Virginian? That was Pennsylvania native Owen Wister. Legend had it that his fascination with the West and its unique characters originated with his visit to Frank Walcott's VR Ranch in 1885. He published The Virginian in 1902 and cemented his reputation as the father of Western fiction. The University of Wyoming English Department's annual literary journal, the Owen Wister Review, is named in his honor. Congratulations to Jack Blake, the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Enjoy another warm late spring day and join me again tomorrow.